You've heard the phrase, boy, have I some news for you. Well, I'm going to just alter that a little bit. And I say, boy, have I some stories for you. Stories of forgiveness, assurance, and redemption. In one way or another, we all have these kinds of stories of forgiveness and assurance and redemption in our lives. Brigetta's father went to Yale and taught at Yale and also at, let's see, Emory University of Chicago, right? And wrote some books. That's what it is, right? So I know that Brigetta has some stories she could tell you too. You need to ask her about the stories of in her family. Very interesting, great stories. So these stories that we see in the Bible are not just the stories that are our stories, right? And the Bible stories, but they are all a part of the one great story of God and His saving acts in history. So I use the pun, forgive me, you know, history is His story, right? I know that not man or woman, but in order that we can kind of understand the wonderful nature of God, we sometimes put human aspects to God. All of history is God's story. The good, the bad, the ugly, including sometimes very horrible stories people do to one another. I just finished a book called Sheltering the Jews, The Stories of Holocaust Rescuers. And usually, you know, it takes me a long time to read a book, you know, because I read a book in between innings, right? At halftime at football games, you know. Genevieve reads 10 books to my one. But this book of the Holocaust survivors and rescuers is one that I finished rather quickly compared to the other books that I would read. You can imagine these stories of the Holocaust rescuers, and it has it all. Right? The good, the bad, the very ugly. The nation of Israel has it all as well. They were continually going after other gods. They were killing some of the prophets. Finally, they were sent into the captivity. Years later, a remnant was allowed to return to their homeland. So you have it, stories of forgiveness, assurance, redemption, even in the whole history of the people of Israel. The story of Joseph and his brothers is also quite a story. It has all the bad stuff too. Guilt, fear of judgment, forgiveness, redemption, restoration, reassurance, it's all there. You know the story. It's one of the longest stories in the Bible, the story of Joseph. Because Joseph's father, Jacob, showed favoritism to Joseph, toward his son Joseph, who was the dreamer, you know, things absolutely start to go wrong, right? You start to show favoritism in your family, and things start to go wrong. In chapter 30 of Genesis, it says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, even giving him that technicolor dream coat, right? Well, you can imagine that the brothers were pretty jealous. And then Joseph told his brothers and his father that because of the dream he was having, they were all going to bow down to him. Well, you can imagine, even his father rebuked him for that. But his brothers, you know, that was it. They had it enough. And so when they had the chance, they took Joseph, took off his technicolor dream coat, threw him in a pit, all right, spilled blood from a goat on that coat, and tore it up, brought it to their father, and they said, oh, look, I said, a wild animal must have got a hold of Joseph and killed him and eaten him. Well, here's Joseph in the pit. Pretty soon some Midianite traders pass by, and they take him out of the pit, right? And they sold him to some Ishmaelites, who then went to Egypt, and they sold him to one of the Pharaoh's guards, Egyptian officer. But after years and all kinds of intrigues, you know, Joseph actually becomes second only to Pharaoh himself, interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And one of those dreams was that Pharaoh needed to store up food because a famine was coming, and it did. And back in Israel, Jacob says to his brothers, you need to go to Egypt and buy some of that food that Egypt has stored up, or we're going to die. We're going to starve. And so Joseph's brothers go to Egypt, and they come before you know who, right? Joseph. And as they come before Joseph, they don't recognize him, but Joseph said, hey guys, I'm your brother Joseph. Can you imagine? That must have been a shock to them. Here is Joseph, their brother. The story continues until eventually Joseph's father dies, and now the other brothers of Joseph really feel frightened, because Joseph's father, Jacob, has died, and now does that free up Joseph to really get back at them for all the things that they did to him so many years before. They asked for forgiveness, and we read, but Joseph wept, and he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus it says in the next sentence, he reassured them and comforted them. The word comfort is in the RSV version of the Bible. So yes, we have those stories of forgiveness and assurance and restoration throughout the whole Bible. Jacob, Joseph's father, remember him? He was a conniver, right? He cheated his brother Esau out of the birthright inheritance. Yet God calls him to be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses, after killing the Egyptian, is called to lead the Israelites into the promised land. King David, after his sin with Bathsheba and having Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in battle, you know, he told his other commanders, when you go into battle, pull back. Uriah will be there all alone and he will get killed. And that's what happened. And after this, David admits to the prophet Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Yet even after all of this and other sins, David acknowledges God's salvation for him and saving him from his enemies. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 9. It's all about this. David writes, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my redeemer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. We know not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, there's those wonderful stories, right, of forgiveness, of restoration of people, you know, because of God's love for them. The woman at the well in Samaria, Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector, the demoniac, so many others. That's what's happening in all these people's lives. There's forgiveness. There's restoration because of God's love. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, you know, in that courtyard, right? Oh, you're one of his followers. No. And then after the resurrection, Jesus asking Peter three times in that whole process of restoration for him and forgiveness. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? You see all these stories of restoration. And then Saul, as we read in the New Testament lesson, that feared Pharisee who not only consented to the death of Stephen, but laid waste to the church, as recorded in chapter 8, asked for permission to go all the way to Damascus to capture Christians there and bring them back tied up to Jerusalem. He must have had quite an entourage going with them, these people that heard the voice, but, didn't see anything. Because somebody's going to arrest these people. And again, you know the rest of the story. On the way there, there's this great light. He's blinded. And the words come to the Apostle Paul, as his name is going to be, "Why are you persecuting me?" Restored, baptized, after he goes to the house of Ananias and he receives his sight and he begins preaching about Jesus, becomes the apostle to the Gentiles and takes on the name of Paul. And, you know, if you go to the first chapter of Matthew, there's that whole genealogy, right? That all those generations, 42 generations of people from Abraham to Jesus. And if you look at those names, you know, we're not going to look at all those names. But if you look at those names, you see here and there and many places, people that have sinned, people have gone away from the Lord, and, but they have been restored. They even become a part of the ancestor list of Jesus himself. So it's that list is rife with these characters, sinners restored. Must have been a motley crew if you'd have put them all together. This is my story as well. I'm going to have to read it. My mom died when I was 4 years old, and then after my father was killed when I was a senior in high school, I was angry, I was confused, I did a lot of bad stuff. My grades in the first 2 years of college plummeted. Oh, the Lord was there all along saying, "Come on, Ross, I want you." Kept putting it off. Until one Sunday, I don't know what the preacher was preaching on, but as I was coming out of my home church, Bethany Reformed Kalamazoo, I was thinking about going to the ministry again. Halfway down the steps, an angel touched me on the shoulder. And that angel said, "Russ, have you ever thought about going into the ministry?" "Well, yes, Mrs. Smith, who touched me, you are the angel." That afternoon, I went to talk with my pastor, and he knew my story. And I said, "I have to go into the ministry, but I can't. I've blown it academically." He said, "Don't worry, Russ. I will tell your story to the people of college that I went to, my alma mater, Central College in Pella, Iowa. I can get you in." And he did. 2 weeks after I got there and started classes, I got this letter, right? It was forwarded to me from Western Michigan University. And the letter said I'd flunked out. But I was already restored. Right? That's not the end of my stories of forgiveness. In the last semester of Central College, the powers that be at the college said, "Russ, you're going to have a science class or you're not going to be able to graduate." Well, in high school, I was in the business curriculum. Never had any of the sciences, right? So I said, what possible course? Small college? Not that many courses that I could take that would be considered a science. And so I looked through it and I said, botany. I can do botany, trees, flowers, plants, that should be a pretty easy. Well, of course, But the course was all chemistry. Right? All, you know, photosynthesis, all the other chemistry things that were involved in plants and trees and flowers. And so, final exam. I knew I flunked it bad. And I was walking down the quad. Here comes the professor of that course. Now, you need to know, this professor and I played on opposing basketball team, intramural basketball teams, you know, and it's not just that we played on opposing teams, it's that he was a tall guy, and he was coming out, you know, and was going to make a layup, and I went like this, and I undercut him, and he went flying, you know. He got mad at the time, and now here he is walking down that quad toward me after the exam. He said, Russ, he said, you know you flunked that bad exam pretty bad. I said, yes. You know, I know what's going to happen. He said, but, he said, you're not going to need chemistry in seminary. I'm going to give you a D minus for the course so that you can pass it and go on to seminary. Yeah, I guess I know about forgiveness, right, and restoration. I know you have some of these stories as well. We all have stories like this of forgiveness and being restored at one point or another. You know, they may not be as exciting or dramatic as the stories of Joseph or the Apostle Paul, but they're all part of God's story throughout history. So my encouragement to you is don't be reluctant to tell your story. Share your stories with one another and with others. You know, and some churches, they say, you know, you need to have your testimony, you know, whatever you call it, testimony, or you call it my personal witness. It's one of the ways that God's story can come through our stories. Ephesians chapter 2 says it so well. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Amen.